Welcome back to the New Rock Stars Debrief. I'm Eric Voss. Joining me today are Philip Molina.
Hello, my name's Philip Molina. You just said that.
And Sam Basher.
Hello, happy to be here.
Well, guys, we're talking about some new Captain Marvel TV footage with some exciting new details that might be confirming some things we've been talking about, but also we're going to talk about some nerd movies that have finally made it to the Oscars. Top categories, it's an exciting time, and a Twilight Zone trailer.
Yes.
Ooh, the reboot on CBS Access. It looks great. We're going to talk about all this stuff
tonight. By the by, you're listening to The Debrief. It's a show that covers everything that you need to know from this past week in nerd news. You can listen to it on the Himalaya app, also. So just if you want the audio, or also Apple Podcasts, anywhere that you get your podcasts, it's available.
Yes, yes. All right, let's get started, guys. We're talking, our lead story today is the Oscars. It takes place this Sunday here in sunny Los Angeles, finally Sunday, sunny. And if you haven't been following along with all the Oscars drama in 2019, just know there won't be a host for the first time in 30 years. It's going
to
be interesting.
They tried. To their credit, they tried. And it did not work out.
And when it didn't work out the first time, they immediately threw up their hands and said, there's nothing we can do.
We give up. But I did read up on the last time it happened, like 1989.
80 or 80 or something.
Yeah, it was it was weird. It was a weird
show. That's the one that has weirdly Rob Lowe sings a song with Snow White about wanting a banger. Ah. And they had to officially apologize to Disney after.
To Snow White? To
Walt
face.
Disney.
Okay, well, here at New Rock Stars, we're most excited about the movies that are actually popular that we talked about.
They should have a popular category.
Yeah.
It makes sense, you know?
Don't you think? Into the Spider-Verse is nominated for Best Animated Feature, and it's probably going to win that category. And Black Panther is nominated for a bunch of technical awards, but it's nominated for Best Picture. Well, it's not expected to win that award. We'll get into some reasons why, maybe, but it's the first superhero movie to even be nominated, and that's a very, very big deal. I know Kevin Feige's got to be really happy about that.
First superhero movie
to be nominated.
But
not the first superhero to deserve it.
Yeah, there's a bunch of these.
Yeah, no. Right. It's a big step forward for superhero movies in general. They're finally being recognized as pieces of art that a ton of really creative people pour years of hard work into, which is our whole thing here at New
Rockstars.
Yeah,
that's like our thesis. Whenever I tell people what we do, they're like, you're the Easter Egg Channel. I'm like, no. I mean, yes. But we also treat these things like the works of art that they are because they get the top people in the industry to do every part of them. Like the top artists, you know, Ryan Coogler was doing like great films and then went and did a Marvel movie. So yes, these are works of art and these are artists who deserve to be rewarded.
They can be both. Yeah. When we posted the news on social media a while back when Black Panther was nominated for Best Picture, we noticed that a lot of people were actually not 100% pleased. Like, I guess some people thought maybe it wasn't deserved or that other movies deserved it more. My tough question for both of you today, does Black Panther deserve to be nominated for Best Picture?
Short answer, yes.
Win is a different That's a different question because it kind of doesn't... That, like, not to get into semantics, it doesn't quite matter if it does or not. I think the nomination itself is worth it because the movie not only brought... on base level, it brought joy. Like, it's an entertaining movie, and it reached audiences all across the world, and, like, numbers can speak for itself for, like, how much money that movie made, but also it tackled hard, like, genuinely important issues that not only shine lights to new corners of the MCU with, like, Wakanda, and we get to know what that is. It's like, oh, also, slavery did happen. That happened, and now we need to deal with that because the idea of Wakanda kind of... It's immediately troubling, like, the idea brought up in the movie, like, why didn't you do anything? And that's looking back at us. Iron Man's never done anything like that. Thor is miles away from ever dealing with any social, political issue whatsoever. Right. And it dealt with this, and our characters changed. Our characters actually changed in this movie.
I think that what you're bringing up, you recently were talking about Black Panther, and you said something similar, and somebody called you out, and they were like, Sam just said that Black Panther showed everyone that slavery existed. And your point isn't that we didn't know that slavery existed. It's that it existed even in the Marvel universe. And that means that, you know, if we're really going to ground these films, then you have to deal with these harsh truths. And what I think is really interesting is that this film, this is a reason why I think Black Panther deserves at least a lot of credit beyond just, hey, it was a really good superhero movie, is that not only did it integrate these kind of social messages, but they were a little bit more complex than just like, racism's bad, right? There's like a this really interesting theme there that you're kind of touching on with if slavery was real, why didn't he do anything? That a lot of people were saying it was a commentary, for some people at least, on Barack Obama being the first black president, but not feeling like a black president for the black community, that he just felt like just any other president who happened to be black. Why didn't you do anything? Why didn't you help lift up your community? Like, for Black Panther, a Marvel movie, to get us thinking about these kinds of things, that alone, I'm like, damn, yeah. I mean, we definitely should be, it should be in the conversation for sure.
Yeah, anyone who thinks that superhero movies shouldn't be politicized, I think Stan Lee himself would take issue with that, because all of his comics from the 60s when he was making X-Men comics, they're all meant to reflect current events and social change that was happening. And that doesn't mean that every Marvel movie, every superhero movie needs to have like a very present political message, but it also means that we should honor and respect movies that do try to take those big swings and answer big difficult questions in society.
It's like if they tried to set one in, you know, actually they kind of did, I think, have a misstep with Iron Man, where it was kind of like playing around with the idea of Middle Eastern threats at the beginning, but it wasn't exactly acknowledging that it was in this post 9/11 world and being like authentic with that. It kind of just went with the way the comic books did, and I feel like that's actually something that Black Panther improved on the original Iron Man, where it's like, this took place in our real world that has impact on real people.
I think the original Iron Man, and we talked a bit about this when Stan Lee passed, the original Iron Man answered an interesting question when it came to Americans and the worldwide frustration with the boondoggle that was the war in Iraq at that time. And we didn't trust institutions, but we did trust the idea of like one person who could reflect on the mistakes he made as a war profiteer, essentially, having a change of heart, when a literal change of heart in that movie, and deciding to take responsibility for his past mistakes. It felt like almost like a fantasy escapism. Like, what if we just had a simple, quick fix for what's happening in the Middle East? What if Iron Man existed in this world? It was almost like Superman as a response to like Cold War threats. Like, what if we just had like one person who could like break past the politics of
which
this?
Is a flaw a lot of people have with Superman, is if Superman's real, why does such terrible things have happened in the same time that he was around? Like, don't save that you know, little kid from like tripping. Like, Superman always does these small things, like
saving
stop
cats.
Terrorism. I mean, do save the cat.
They do bend over backwards, so Superman does not get involved in those kinds
of things. Right, exactly. But I think also a lot of people would probably say to us, okay, I think that move social justice movies essentially don't deserve credit just for that or whatever. So I think it's worth a second of just, what about technically this film? Like, on the technical aspects of what they consider for Best Picture, is it something that achieved it? We were talking acting, directing choices, the technical, you know, camera choices and whatnot.
The production
design. What do you guys think of...
top to bottom, they built out a world, and they didn't do it in the way where, like, for example, recently, you guys probably didn't see this, Mortal Engines builds out this YA post-apocalyptic world where cities run around on wheels, and I did a review on that, and I very much did not enjoy that movie. But
it's the one where they see the giant, like, monster, and they're like, what is that? And they're like, London.
That's the one. And in that, it kind of just is like, no, big cities are bad. Little ones are villages. And then there's some that eat the other ones, and you're like, I can't. And these are the higher class, and these are good, and people have jobs. And it's like, it's kind of just like fire hosing you with all this information that you're like, I kind of get how the world works because I understand basic algebra, but I don't care. And in this, it really paints a picture of like, this is how there is a monarchy, but there also are elected officials from each of these tribes that builds out this community. You see the lower level of it, and you see what Wakanda means to the rest of the world, and you want to get a understanding of their culture and what each different like piece of Wakanda, what they look like, what they dress like, how they speak, and what they mean to each other, if they get along, if they don't get along. And in that aspect, I really respect the movie, and I think it deserves recognition.
Yeah, I think to echo Sam's statement, the world building is fantastic, the production design. I think when you look at past Marvel films, I can't think of one that created like a non-existent fictional place that felt like an actual lived-in world that you could go visit, that felt like, oh, this is a theme park I want to go to, like build this as a section of Disneyland, please, so I can go visit Wakanda and eat the street food that they're selling in those scenes. Like,
that's exactly what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, play the music that we hear. It feels like a real authentic place that you can reach out and touch. And I think Unfortunately, so many, year after year when we see the Oscars, there's all these movies that like make it into the Best Picture category that are totally fine films that are not movies that I feel like I needed to see on a big screen. They're just like interesting stories, compelling narratives, compelling characters, present political messages that we all need to learn about right now. But it's like, I grew up with like Spielberg movies with big special effects. Like I grew up with Jurassic Park and seeing that on the big screen. I feel like that's part of the cinema experience. Mm-hmm. So when people like to bash movies like Avatar, they're like, oh, it's all spectacle and no substance. First off, I think that movie had a ton of substance, but I think that experience of going to see a huge movie in 3D, and it's one of the few 3D movies I think mm-hmm. was worth it. James Cameron created a new way, a new visual language. I think that experience, that connection of going to a crowded, huge theater and seeing this all on screen and technical mastery is all part, it's as much of a part of the cinema experience as like a character who speaks to some current event that's happening right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I think the fact that you brought up Avatar is interesting because you're talking about an alien world getting as distant as you can from what our reality is, and yet still having a connection to it. And not just because you had a shaved head with a little braided ponytail mm-hmm. for most of your childhood.
It was a Jedi thing, Jedi, but then yeah, I reappropriated yeah, exactly. as a Navi.
We all knew what it was.
Yeah, we all knew it.
Someone who had one.
And we all know that Eric had one. But it's not just that. It's, you know, you relate to this outsider story. And, you know, same thing with this world that was built in Black Panther. I'll say a lot of what you guys said, I would say as a devil's advocate here, you could technically say is why it should get awards for production design and technical categories and not Best Picture. But I'll say because it's not only those things, and then on top of that, great action and directing, and then also great acting from most of the cast, I'd say. Those are all reasons why. Then now you're starting to get into Best Picture conversation. And then I'll just throw out just straight up, I think that Chadwick Boseman is one of the not weaker parts of the movie, but not one of the glowing parts for me. I think he's
fine. Yeah.
And normally that would be a it would discount it for me. Like now that's probably not going to be Best Picture contender. It's the fact that the villain of that movie made us all walk out and go, damn, is he right? And we're like, that's a good script. That's great acting from Michael B. Jordan. Now you have this complete picture that I would argue could be a Best Picture. Also, real quick, isn't it about time Kevin Feige just got an Oscar?
Just give him one.
A real creative one. I mean, he's won. Haven't Marvel movies won
yeah,
in one
like,
of the technical
categories?
Yeah, but
the one categories? That he wants, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, sure. I guess my argument is like, the guy's a billionaire. Maybe not a billionaire. He's a millionaire several times over. Does he need this? Like,
wait,
I think
who's nominated for Best Picture that isn't a millionaire several times over?
I don't know. Who made a... See, this is my whole thing, right? Like...
Philip asking me questions.
This whole thing. This year especially, more than other past years, half of these movies that are in the Best Picture category are not good. They're C-plus movies. Like, is Bohemian
Name
Rhapsody
them.
Really good?
Bohemian
Vice?
Rhapsody.
Is that a
Vice.
Good movie? Green
One
Book?
More. Green
Who
Book.
Who cares about these movies?
Roma?
And these aren't just... Roma's fantastic.
Roma. Yeah.
Roma's fantastic. But most of the time, it's like eight movies that most of you didn't see, but if you do get around to going to see it, you know, it ends up being an incredible movie. Mm-hmm. This time, it's like, these are movies not only that people didn't see, or maybe that they did see, but they suck. And it's like, I hope this is a year. Like, we're talking... I saw someone post on online, hopefully the 2020 election will be the thing that finally destroys Facebook. Like, I'm ready for these institutions to be over, and I hope 2019 is the year that finally destroys the Oscars. I'm so freaking tired of talking about these things. It only exists because Harvey Weinstein wanted a way to make more millions of dollars and create jobs for publicists and create jobs for like entertainment bloggers to speculate on this crap every year that like, I don't care. Black Panther is a totally fine movie. If we're talking about game changers to get more film, cinematic art to people around the country and to get them to recognize things, you know what? Netflix has been great about that. Amazon mm-hmm. has been great about that. We don't need this artificial, stupid award ceremony every year. Anyway, rant over. Sorry.
Yeah.
To bum you all out.
I appreciate you sharing.
Well, I mean, we all know that you would want an Oscar in your
right,
career.
Right, yeah. I'll take an Oscar.
Immediately.
Give me an Oscar.
Especially if the Oscars are dead and they're like valuable collector's items. Right, yeah. the views expressed by Eric Voss, by the way, are supported by New Rock Church. I think we're all in agreement by that. but we probably wrap this.
Yeah, I don't mean to kill the subject. It's about Black Panther.
If I may, everyone else, the other side of the coin is like the other Marvel movie that came out this year that definitely deserves an Oscar nomination. Ant-Man and the Wasp got nothing this year. No, Avengers Infinity War, they're like technically, and they put all these stories together and all these characters and everything, and it's still getting an Oscar nomination. And I understand that you wish it had that Best Picture nomination, but when it comes to like cultural impact, I would disagree with you, but it's okay that we have these disagreements.
Yes,
it's
fantastic okay. movie, not, also, not so well done that it's a best picture.
Yeah. And hey, here you go. Here's the little attaboy. The CGI in Black Panther's awful. There you go. There it is. Because you're gonna I see you typing right now.
I could smell those rhinos. They were great rhinos. No, they were okay rhinos. But you know what? They put so much work in the production design, the world building. I didn't care that the rhinos didn't look real. Yeah, maybe. Well, on some other Ryan Coogler news that this just came out that we're super excited about.
Ryan Coogler news.
Space Jam 2, my friend.
Okay, that Ryan Coogler produced.
Yeah, he produced. He's producing the Space Jam 2, and they dropped a release date of July 26, 2021.
Oh, wow. Space Jam 2.
And they released a picture of LeBron James, Toon Squad jersey.
Look at that face.
Look at that.
He's okay with maybe being in this.
Yeah, he wants to be.
He's like not. Well, this is.
He was posing for what he thought would be a basketball card, and then they took his jersey and swapped it out.
I think he's just mad that he has the same billing as Lola and Bucks.
He is in the front.
Well, this is, it's coming out in a couple years. Ryan Coogler's producing it. It's being directed by Justin Lin.
I'm actually genuinely pumped.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Oh, totally.
Space Jam was my favorite movie until yesterday.
There you go. I would love to ask you
Space
what
Space Jam 2.
There you go.
It's already my favorite.
I was going to ask. But you know what, gang? I think it's time for our favorite segment of the show.
The wrap-up.
There you go. Thank you to Devin for editing. All right, let's go ahead and read our trivia question. You guys know the drill. Well, this week I'm going to be asking the question. We're going to write the answer close as we can. At the end of the show.
Did you come up with the question this week?
Oh, yeah.
So you know the answer?
No, never.
You just only know the question.
But yeah. We're going to write your answer down and we'll read it at the end of the show.
Here we go. What am I thinking of?
Here we go.
All right.
What year were the Oscars first broadcast in color? All right, that's it for us. Go ahead and throw the cards.
Where do we put them in here?
Put it in there. And then, of course, the loser's got to pick from the Gift of Shame box. This is a delightful box. Philip broke it last week. I saw it.
No, I saw Sam get mad at it.
And put it right in here. But
Real quick, before you move on, I just want to point something out real quick. Devin got really excited. Our editor, Devin, if you don't know, he got a soundboard all set up. And there we go. The first time he uses it halfway through the show. We've had all kinds of segments. No sounds.
Last time I trusted someone, I lost an eye.
Wow, you got a couple.
That's a good one. That's a classic.
All right. Well, I needed to warn people because they were going to get startled that out of nowhere, we were probably going to have a lot of sounds and we hadn't had any yet. Okay.
Right. Good one.
That was a good one.
Much funnier with the rim shit. Yeah.
Ooh, we should get you a little iPad to like pick the next one. That's a good one. But
debrief us on something else.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Check this out. We got a few quick updates from a previous story we talked about. Recently, we mentioned that Tom Hiddleston may not actually appear as Loki in the Disney Plus Loki show. Maybe just do some voiceover or something like that. But when answering an unrelated interview question this week, Alan Horn, chairman of Walt Disney Studios, said that we're doing a series with Tom Hiddleston playing the Loki character. So hopefully that settles that.
Which was the biggest worry. It was like, oh, younger Loki kid.
Kid Yoshi.
Yeah. Hey,
Kid
Loki.
Kid Yoshi is my rap name.
To be fair, there is a Kid Loki in the comics, and he's adorable, and I would be on board with that. But I'm excited for Tom Hiddleston returning. But we also recently discussed all the possibilities of an R-rated Black Widow movie. But now, Papa, a.k.a. Kevin Feige, is saying that's not going to be a rated R film.
Take away that Oscar.
And it never was. was. So sneak preview into this year's What We Got Wrong video. Do love those videos.
Yeah. What We Got Wrong.
Finally, I get to be in one. Probably in a lot of them.
Well, we want to take a quick second to shout out our new best friends over at Philo. They're sponsoring this video, and they have allowed us to bring back our Walking Dead weekly breakdowns of episodes. Season 9's been pretty good. Like, Season 9, it's been like a comeback in many ways for me.
A lot of people are saying that the show kind of turned around recently, and then unfortunately, a lot of people don't know that.
Yes.
But it seems like they tried to make it a new jumping on point again.
Absolutely. New showrunner Angela Kang has been doing some amazing writing, and the episodes have been really great.
But you can watch it on Philo.
And you can watch it on Philo within seconds. Like, Philo is just a really, really good option for watching cable TV, but without having to do the annoying process of cable itself. You don't need any equipment to set up at all.
Don't need parents.
You don't need parents. You don't need
parents. Get the parents out of here.
Yeah. Or you don't really need contracts. It's only $20 a month. And you can watch Walking Dead on AMC, of course, but they've also got a ton of channels. They got Nickelodeon, they got A&E. You can watch Better Call Saul on Philo. It's really like they got everything that you need to catch up on that you can't find other places. There's like 50 other channels. There's unlimited saving, so you can like DVR everything pretty much for later, and you can watch it live as well within seconds of it coming out. And a special bonus for those of you watching right now: the first 50 New Rockstars fans to sign up at the link in the description below will get their first month for free.
Free TV for a month. Yeah, so, but only if you use that link in the description.
Yeah, use the link in the description. Check out Philo. It's a great opportunity.
You're welcome.
Eric, tell me about, I saw the new Captain Marvel trailer. Well, it's a new ad for Captain Marvel.
Yeah, there was like a promo, a TV
promo. Yeah, but fill me in, what's new in it?
Okay, so there was a TV promo, and they're releasing a clip of the movie. There's like a quick scene that they show. They do this usually like a week or 2 weeks out of a movie. They'll start to just release stuff that starts to spoil certain things about the movie. So if you don't want to know anything about Captain Marvel, I suggest you skip this next section.
Yeah, we have timestamps in the description.
Yeah, skip to the next section. We don't want to reveal too much, but this does confirm or fall into line with a lot of the theories that we've been talking about with Captain Marvel and what the story will be. So in this clip, Captain Marvel is speaking to Annette Bening's character, and in this part of Captain Marvel's story, she goes by Vers. Her name is Carol Danvers, and when she joins the Kree, they just call her by the last four letters of that. It has to do, I believe, with her dog tag might get torn off, and you just see Vers, so they call her Vers. And she calls Annette Bening's character Intelligence, and this could be confirming that Annette Bening is the Kree Supreme Intelligence. If you read your Marvel comics, specifically Operation Galactic Storm, there's a whole story that's revealed. There's like a mass murder that is conducted of the Kree race, and they reveal that it is this AI Supreme Intelligence that did this, so it will force the surviving Kree to move on and survive and evolve. So it's kind of this inhuman AI that doesn't feel without, has no empathy, but it does these things that are for the greater good, but they're actually super evil.
Usually she's a gigantic head in a jar, about 9 feet tall. Mm-hmm. Really on board with that.
You know, one theory that I saw is that Annette Bening is looks like, you know, this was some manifesting form that the Supreme Intelligence has taken to look like Carol Danvers' mom, whereas really it's like kind of a shape-shifting figure and normally is a big head, but here it's like manifesting as your mom, kind of like in the end of Contact, where the aliens take the form of Jodie Foster's dad.
Love that ending.
Yeah, it'd be a cool idea. Now, they're in a room that is confirmed to be a data memory projection room. This is another thing that we talked about. This could be some kind of like X-Men danger room where they kind of project these things to help you remember or help you like learn or train.
Or brainwash.
And they talk about how the Skrull are shapeshifters who destroy everything, et cetera, et cetera. That's what they're talking about in the scene. But then the intelligence shows Carol an image of a Skrull pointing a gun at her. Now, we saw this exact image before. It was in a trailer. And when that trailer came out, we suspected that, you know, maybe this could be a projected memory. It's not a real memory. And we were right to doubt it. This is projected in the context of this memory room. And this could be proof that Carol's whole outlook on the Skrull is the result of some brainwashing by the Kree, that these two rival military empires are trying to brainwash people to hate each other. Now, I want to dive a little deeper, and I'm curious what you guys think about this. Let's say the Kree aren't the good guys they seem to be, or that Carol thinks they are, and let's say they did brainwash Carol Danvers in some way. Have they also been lying in general about the Skrull? In other words, could the Skrull actually be benevolent shapeshifters embedded in human society to help us in some way or defend us from this militaristic empire of the Kree? Or do we think maybe the Kree and the Skrull are both equally evil, deceitful, powers that are will do anything to lie about each other and manipulate or corrupt this independent power, in this case, Earth.
That's cool. I like that. I mean, I like the question. Good question.
Let's talk about.
I think the answer is the latter of the questions. So
you think they're both bad?
Yeah, they're both bad. But I like the idea of her being brainwashed, because the whole idea is that she's trying to piece back together who she is, and so she's in a vulnerable space where they can take advantage of who she is and her power, and especially if the war is being fought on her home turf. Getting her on the side of the Kree to just wipe out the rest of the Skrulls makes sense. And usually the Skrulls are the ones who are basically painted as bad guys all the time. Mm-hmm. There's like one or two you kind of throw into a story for fun, because they usually shapeshift like the Fantastic Four, so you can have some powers in there. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, they're the bad guys. And with the Kree, it's usually like the Inhumans, somewhat good guys. Kree, usually bad guys as well. They just get everybody swept up in their business, and it always causes problems for everybody. We all have friends like that, and they're the worst.
What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that to me, whether or not that's what's going to happen, it's what would be most interesting. It's similar to what we were talking about earlier with Black Panther, where a villain that isn't just villainous is way more interesting than the villain that, you know, doesn't seem to have a real motivation that anyone could actually relate to. So it not necessarily that it's a big secret that, oh, Skrull actually good, ? I think it could be a little bit like, no, they're justified and motivated because maybe they, you know, are striving for survival. Mm-hmm. And that's something that makes you act out in ways that, you know, you have to do whatever it takes. And I think also there's a lot there, both politically, but all, even like biblically, like just these stories of two, not necessarily just races, but like groups that used to be came from the same source and then had some reason or another to like split up. And then they paint each other as like the most evil, when it's like they kind of come from the same kind of thing. I wouldn't be surprised if they map some of that over this too.
You know, it's interesting. We're now seeing a phase in the Marvel of like expanding beyond like the world, not just into other planets or other dimensions, but like other races of intelligent life. Like we saw it with the Nova Corps on Xandar. We saw it with Asgard. But now like there are other big like armies that are in this like constant civil war with each other, with the Kree and the Skrull. And we're talking about the idea of introducing politics or art reflecting life. Like there's a comparison there. There's a nerdy grad student thesis essay there about how the Skrull could be based on American views of communist spies, of people, they shapeshift, they talk like Americans, but they aren't Americans. They're actually trying to subvert and destroy you. And the Kree being the American or the Soviet view of the Americans, of these people who are just brainwashing and forcing people to conform, and they have their own like weird genetic and skin color conflicts within their society, so they aren't so high and mighty either. So I like this idea of looking at the perspective of what's another independent planet or race of people that are trying to be corrupted by both sides, and telling a story from that perspective, whether it be Cuba or Vietnam or one of these other spheres of influence that these big global superpowers, or in this case universal superpowers, are trying to corrupt and get to their side. And Captain Marvel, it sounds like from the trailer, is interested in not being part of it at all. She just wants to end this war and get Earth out of it, which I think is the best way to go.
I bet there's going to be, I hope there is at least like a moment there that can relate to anyone who's done like military service or whatever, where it's just that idea of following orders and identifying as a individual versus a member of an army with a greater purpose. And if there is if it's okay to follow orders that you don't necessarily believe in, those kinds of things. I have a feeling that they'll definitely have that moment where, you know, it's almost like she throws off her badge kind of thing.
Well, the directors of Captain Marvel have given a supremely vague detail about the Stan Lee cameo in Captain Marvel, saying that the scene in which he appears in the movie felt right, in their words. It's also been reported that Stan Lee previously filmed a cameo for Avengers Endgame, but no word on any movies past that. We don't know if he's going to be in Far From Home.
It kind of feels appropriate.
If it's Endgame, it's the final chapter of this story, these 22 movies that started with Iron Man in 2008, and Endgame is the end of that era. So hopefully that.
And I like the way the Deadpool 2 used the cameo, where it was just like a mural, or the way the Marvel Netflix shows did it, where it's just a picture in the background. I always thought that was kind of sweet. So
For sure. But we got some other news this week. Sam, what have you heard?
Not as exciting, I'll tell you, gang. We knew this day would come, but that doesn't make it any less sad, especially for old pal Sam, because I really love these shows. But Netflix has officially canceled Punisher and Jessica Jones, the last of the Netflix Marvel series.
At least we still have Iron Fist.
At least we still have Iron Fist. At least we got our Iron Fist gang. Though Jessica Jones has a season 3 coming right down the pike. And Kristen Ritter said, I am proud of how we complete JJ's journey. So hopefully they got enough notice to wrap that story up nice and
hopefully.
Tight this series. Also, just putting this in there, a little ad lib. I would very much enjoy maybe like a send-off, like the end of a comic series where all the characters get to show up one more time.
Oh, yeah, another cameo by all of them. Yeah, that'd be good.
But like the last episode of Sourcehood Nerd.
There you go. Yeah, the whole gang. Yeah. But...
Terrifying.
It's
so scary.
It comes out of nowhere.
That was my heart.
All right, but so again, we knew this was coming, right? We knew
Philip's
this was coming.
Heartfelt like memory is a joke today. Sorry, I'll be cutting you off.
No, you're good. Yep. But we knew this was coming because Daredevil, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, and Defenders have all been canceled already, long time ago, far, far away. But an interesting Hollywood Reporter story came out this week, digging into why these shows were canceled. Now, there's going to get like we're gonna get a little inside baseball here for a second. All buckle up, get your baseball
batter up.
Clothes.
There you go.
You do not play baseball inside, by the way. Makes a mess.
It's very dangerous. But I'll try to keep it brief. Basically, Disney already owned these shows. Netflix was just licensing them for so much money. We're talking tons of money, hundreds even. And now Disney's over that arrangement. So soon there will be only one place you can find Marvel television, and that's Disney Plus ABC, which Disney owns, and they were the one producing this show. Uh-huh. Freeform, which was ABC Family, so Disney owned. Hulu, which Disney owns, and Fox and FX, which Disney owns very soon.
So they're just pulling it back in under Disney, which I think is kind of what we know. But I also read that article too, and I think the interesting thing is apparently all the studios are doing that. They're like bringing everything home. That's why that big Friends deal almost like didn't happen. They were taking Friends off of Netflix and everybody freaked out. So right now, like Netflix has everything and Hulu kind of has the rest. It sounds like pretty soon that's all going to be dead.
And it's all becoming exclusive, right?
Yeah, they don't want to license anymore because they can make much more money on just keeping it in-house and then getting people's monthly subscriptions and then and bringing it all together.
So the countries are closing down their embassies in other countries, shutting down the foreign exchange programs, bringing the troops home.
Bringing the kids, bringing the troops home. Yeah, I like that now. Yeah, the DC Universe example, keeping all the people in one house.
Yeah.
All the DC characters. No more CW shows. That's a lie. Batwoman's coming right down the pike. But also, we've mentioned on this channel the Disney-Fox deal and getting all the Marvel stuff under one umbrella. We've talked about it as a good thing. And if they reboot Daredevil on Disney Plus in some way, it'll now be a lot easier, conceivably, for him to show up in a Spider-Man movie, for example. You know, maybe. Yeah. Hopefully more people are watching this app using it. But there are, well, honestly, are there any negative implications of all this centralization, creatively speaking?
I mean, in Marvel's case, it's a good thing because Marvel's all about the connected universe, right? You want everyone to be able to pop up in each other's things. And the fact that like all the Disney Marvel family is all under one big tent, especially with like licensing deals with Sony with Spider-Man and all those villains. And I believe they have to have a deal with Universal to be able to put Hulk in things, right? So we'll see if those licensing things continue, right? But right now it seems to only benefit Sony to work with Marvel to make Spider-Man properties. I mean, maybe further down the line, already we're kind of suffering like maybe some creative fatigue that we're seeing so many like existing IP being adapted into movies and stories. Like everything has to be based on some existing IP. Oh, we're making another Goosebumps movie, or we're making another
Goosebusters.
You know,
super on board with that. By the way,
more like Pokemon movies and Godzilla movies, and rather than just like original stories that you've never heard of this character before. So in that sense, maybe it pushes us further in that direction. But it doesn't leave, it's not like it makes it so that those other original stories can't come up and exist, you know?
I'll say that when I heard that question of does it do anything negative creatively, my gut was like, no, actually, I think creatively is the one thing that will flourish. But then I thought about it for another millisecond, and I realized that there is this one issue with bringing everything in world is that you kind of, there's a tendency at least for the world to always have the same rules and the same feel. And so even how when Ragnarok came out and everybody was like, whoa, like it almost didn't feel like a Marvel movie. It was almost even more colorful and pushed it even more, how that it wasn't really that different from a traditional Marvel movie. Compare that to Venom, right? Venom, whether you liked it or not, didn't feel like a Marvel movie. And the more things that are brought under the same umbrella and have to operate under the same rules. Another good example is, God, I'm blanking on the name, but the FX show, Legion.
Legion.
Mm-hmm. Right. Legion does not feel like a Marvel show. That show is amazing and fascinating, but doesn't feel like something that Marvel and Disney would produce. And the more things that are brought in-house like that, well, the more we're going to get the same flavor of the same things.
Yeah. Hmm. I think you can still have things like Deadpool. You can still have things like Logan, produced by the Fox division of Disney's conglomerate. But now it just makes it easier for, if you want to do a story where Reed Richards shows up, you can have Reed Richards show up without having to pay some crazy weird thing.
And I'd say, like, if we were looking at, like, the... like competition, if you like when it comes to DC, Aquaman built out its own world within a world, in within a universe where it has its own rules. It's got seven kingdoms that we haven't even touched on. We just ran by them with just looking out the window. We have no idea how that world works, and we still have plenty of time to kind of explore that and really dig into it. With Wonder Woman, you have your entire Greek pantheon, or even more pantheons of gods and villains and rogues and whatnot that they can kind of play around with. So it just depends on how they want to move forward tackling these IPs, because they could become more uniform, where it's like Iron Man worked, copy paste, we keep doing that, right. Which they do, and I ain't mad about it for the most part.
But you could eventually be, and I think your Aquaman example is salient, but I also think that that is an example from a universe where the rest of the films weren't doing well, and so they were like, you know what, don't feel the need to feel connected to the existing DC universe. Now Marvel obviously is doing well, so I think it could be a repeat of Star Wars, and how two things. One, how when Solo was under Lord and Miller, it was very clear. They're like, oh, this doesn't feel like a Star Wars movie. Just fire them. Let's get Ron Howard on. It's got to feel like a Star Wars movie. And then the same thing in the opposite direction when Last Jedi tried to kind of like buck it a little bit. And then people were like, that didn't feel like a Star Wars movie. So that's because it's from a successful franchise. So I'm wondering, since Marvel's so successful, what's going to stop them from saying, yes, please copy exactly our formula?
Very good point. I don't know. Creatively speaking, I feel like there's a lot of doors there. You could burn out pretty quick, because I'm feeling I can understand the superhero fatigue now with how many shows there are out there. So I get it. So hopefully they can keep it fresh. But one last little note on this subject. One Punisher fan in particular didn't take this news very well, honestly. And that is Eminem.
Oh,
he tweeted,
same.
There you go. He tweeted to Netflix that they are blowing it. So who knows? Maybe they'll reconsider. I will be honest. He does scare me.
You're blowing it. Season three
of that show could have been cool if Eminem joined, because they have teamed up in the comics before. Just putting it out there, it could be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Marshall's going to write a Stan letter to Netflix.
Uh-oh.
I thought we were going to be together.
But we had some other big news that came out this week, Philip, about a new reboot in the works.
Yeah. I want to tell you guys about this because I'm very excited about it. It's my favorite story from this week. It is the Twilight Zone trailer. Did you guys see it?
Yes. Oh, it was amazing.
It's so good. This. Okay. So it's Jordan Peele's version of the Twilight Zone, which is like the remake now. It's not the first time they've remade it, but it's the modern one. So they released a trailer this week. It was filled actually with a bunch of little fun Easter eggs and references to the original. So, you know, I'm going to point out some of those or whatever, but I also am so excited about it just in general that we'll talk about it a little bit more too on the other side. But first off, there's a lot of clips from the Adam Scott episode, and the episode's actually called Nightmare at 30,000 Feet, which, if you're familiar with the original series, there's Nightmare at 20,000 Feet. It's probably arguably the most famous episode. Yeah. It's when it stars William Shatner, and he's afraid of gorillas on the wing. It's a little gremlin on the wing. This episode, though, I don't think is a remake of that episode. It does seem like, if you listen to the dialogue, it's got its own little tweak to it.
Okay.
Did I say twerking?
It's got its own twerk.
Yeah. The bend of the Twilight Zone universe, it seems like it goes in a completely different direction. But Adam Scott does look like how William Shatner does on the plane, sweating, like he's having some sort of breakdown or other emergency. We also see in the sand later, there's that gremlin. If we can cut to a shot of that. That's the spooky guy from the wing. So obviously it's a reference to that.
Is
but
it
again,
a toy or is it like a doll version of
it?
Yeah,
I mean, it could be.
Beautiful doll.
It could be potentially meaning that this Twilight Zone takes place in our universe and somebody had a doll of that or something.
Who would have a doll of that?
But then also the airport that Adam Scott goes to is called Northern Gold Star Airways, and the original one was Gold Star Airways. Maybe it's after a merger or something.
Very cool.
We also see, if you're familiar with a lot of these episodes, there's so many references. There's that fortune telling machine. We got a picture of that. That's from the episode Nick of Time, where they go to a diner and they keep asking the fortune telling machine questions about their future, and it's eerily right. It's got a good message on it too. But the couple goes to that diner. It's called The Busy Bee. And there's clip of a cop wearing a tie that's featuring Santa's mugshot, which could be a reference to the drunk Santa from Night of the Meek. There's so many references here.
I love this. Episode.
Yeah. There's a chalkboard with the name James Embry on it, which is the name of the kid that beat up Eric in elementary school. But also, that kid was named after a World War II pilot in the episode King Nine Will Not Return.
Oh, wow.
And Adam Scott walks by a wall advertising a mission to Mars, and the trailer has a lot of monkeys in it, and monkeys and Mars are a big part of the Twilight Zone. Ooh. That's just a couple of my favorite things that I noticed, but if you're a fan of the original, you probably saw a bunch of stuff too. What I actually want to talk about, and I'll stop talking in a second, I swear, is why now? Why did we get a Twilight Zone right now?
Black Mirror.
There we go. Black Mirror.
Black Mirror is super popular. I mean, it's an interesting time for it, right? It's great that they got Jordan Peele to do it. It seems like the new career path that he set on after doing Key and Peele was like kind of these horror, social horror stories that feel like episodes of The Twilight Zone. So he is kind of like the Rod Serling of our generation right now. And there's something about like just like the moment we're in history that feels like we are in an alternate universe. Some have called it Darkest Timeline, #DarkestTimeline, the name of my comedy show every first Friday. But it's the reason why I chose that name for it is it feels like all of life right now, there are bad things that are happening in the world that are out of our control. And it just feels like it feels fictional in a weird way that someone made a choice with a ripple effect that led us to where we are right now. But also like right now, there's a lot of theories of, you know, everything is fictitious. To quote Michael Moore, we live in fictitious times. Like it feels like people are they don't trust any news sources anymore, and that, you know, there's the whole thing of the Mandela effect where people don't believe history.
Earlier accused me of making up that Whoopi Goldberg was on Star Trek.
I said there's no way Whoopi Goldberg was on Star Trek. Yeah, of course she was on Star Trek, apparently. So I think right now we are in a very Twilight Zone era, and it speaks to this kind of lingering anxiety that we all have.
I think that's kind of what I'm feeling too, where I obviously also thought Black Mirror was a huge hit. Why not have, you know, the OG Black Mirror come back? But I do think that there's something Black Mirror is kind of myopic in its idea that it's about technology and how that's going to doom us, when it's like, oh, we've been dooming ourselves for a long time, like way before the internet. And that's really what the original Twilight Zone was all about. It, and, you know, come to in the late 50s, but definitely in the 60s, it's thriving. And that's like this maybe one of the last times where society was that scary to be a member of, and everything felt like it was shaking up. And Rod Serling was definitely somebody who, kind of like Stan Lee, was like, I want to use sci-fi and you know, fantasy storytelling to reflect themes about how we actually are living our day-to-day lives. And so there's a lot of political commentary in there that is hidden beneath sci-fi, and I think it's exactly what Get Out is. I think Get Out is exactly a Twilight Zone style movie. It's not about technology being our downfall. It's what if, you know, the things that we're already experiencing just were heightened to
fears
extreme
of society, of different social paranoia.
So I think there is a white space left over by Black Mirror that has nothing to do with technology.
Interesting. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And I do enjoy that, like, it is about, like, a darker timeline. It is these darker stories. But also, it's you're meant to process it, too. There are plenty of stories that you always hang on to from Twilight Zone where they are more negative, but kind of like San Junipero being that, like, splash of light in the middle of Black Mirror's, like, deep, dark abyss. There's a lot of Twilight Zone episodes that I walk away from that are really near and dear to my heart that I would like you're saying, with kind of the way that we're dealing with current culture. It's like, take that story and figure out a way for regular audiences or anyone paying for CBS All Access to like be able to distill that down into finding some peace in their personal
in
life,
their
maybe.
Pig face lives. Yeah.
But also dive deep into the really crazy sci-fi, because I'm all on board with
that. It's so good. So I want to know what you guys think. Are you guys going to get CBS All Access now? Are you guys?
For this?
Maybe.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I so too.
I want to see some of the other programming options.
I almost did for Star Trek, because it was very good, but little
they
Whoopi
don't have
Goldberg.
Yeah, they need Whoopi. Yeah, they don't have Whoopi.
Gotta get Whoopi.
Yeah.
Gotta get Whoopi.
What are some other big things that came out this week?
Man, this week had a lot of really interesting news. And so just kind of wrapping up on some of the more fast stuff that we don't really have too much time to go into. Contrary to earlier reports, it does sound like Margot Robbie actually is going to be in James Gunn's Suicide Squad. Squad 2 after all. Oh. No, it sounded like they were recasting and maybe Will Smith's not going to be in there because he's stuck as a genie now. But also, we heard that Armie Hammer was being considered for the lead role in the upcoming Matt Reeves' The Batman movie. And then Armie Hammer was like, nah, dude.
Yeah, it's a shame. He would have been good for it, I think.
Yeah, I think everybody was like, yeah, I could see that. Darken his hair. That's it.
Yeah,
there you go. Basically, he's Batman. Mm-hmm. But no, he's not. Okay. But maybe he will be. I don't know. Star Wars Episode 9, they announced that the trailer for that is going to be on Endgame. Does anybody else think that they're like, yeah, we're not going to do anything else other than Endgame until Endgame is out, and then we'll start Star Wars, and just Disney will just control our lives? Like,
yeah, it's just, well, yeah, super on board with that. I'm awful at running my own life, so I'd love if they took over.
Yeah.
Disney would do a great job with your life.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, it's crazy. Yeah. I'd have better skin.
Yes.
That's it. So Captain Marvel, a lot of people were talking about how Captain Marvel is, a lot of people are thinking it's going to underperform because they're like, oh, it comes out real soon and we haven't even been talking about it. Is it going to blow it? Is it going to be a disappointment? Its ticket sales have already surpassed both Aquaman and Wonder Woman's pre-sales.
Oh, wow.
So, and those were pretty anticipated movies. So even though we're not talking about it that much, it sounds like we're all kind of like mindlessly like, Endgame, as we're buying our tickets for Captain Marvel.
Sounds like, you have to see the opening act of Captain Marvel
to get
Endgame.
Exactly, it's the Pixar short before Endgame.
We'll see if repeat viewings hold up as much, because what made Black Panther so much money is like people saw it over and over and over again.
Exactly.
So we'll see if that's true for Captain Marvel.
Yeah, well, it just depends on how good it is. And then another DC property, Birds of Prey, released another picture. Mm. Were they both leaks? They might have both been leaks. But it shows Margot Robbie carrying a bunch of belongings as Harley Quinn. Kind of looks like maybe she got dumped, or at least that's what I look like when I got dumped. I definitely had to take my skates and my baseball bat to get these childish things out of my apartment.
Yeah.
But maybe she got dumped by the Joker. Maybe that's why he's not in there. Maybe she has to go sleep over at a girl's place. Mm-hmm. And then they decide to be criminals. Another one shows Mary Elizabeth Winstead as a huntress, and she looks badass.
Yeah,
but she kind of looks like she's wearing like normcore clothes. You know what I mean? Just like
jacket.
At Goodwill. Yeah, the windbreaker you get at Goodwill.
I love that chain.
She also has a chain and a gun. Like you do at Goodwill. But that's our In Other News segment.
It's super cool. Yeah, I'm very on board with this Birds of Prey movie.
But yeah, I'm too. Well, now comes the time for our New Rock Stars debrief lightning round.
Lightning round.
Oh,
now I understand in handy. Why there we're it is. Doing this. It's great.
This was all a big buildup for the lightning. lightning has no sound. That was the thunder round.
The thunder round. You guys tweet us questions. I'm going to fire them at my co-hosts. We have to answer them as quickly and without hesitation as possible. And are we ready?
Yeah.
Great. First question for me. At Marvel Fact wants to know, which MCU character would fit best into Game of Thrones?
You've never heard of it?
MCU character. Nick Fury, because lots of people are missing appendages and
last
eyes.
Last time I trusted someone, I lost an eye.
Can't trust anyone in Game of Thrones. Sam, at Joel Kramer 13 wants to know, give John Mayer a superhero nickname.
Current John Mayer, because I don't know what he's up to. Hold on, and your answer should have been Thor. And
that's right. My body's a Wonder Man.
Shredder, because he really shreds.
Yeah,
on guitar.
He's amazing guitarist.
If you guys haven't heard it, he did a cover of "Beat It" with Fall Out Boy, and it's awful.
Yep. Great guitar.
Philip at Hipster.
Wait, we don't need you to do sound effects.
We got a guy.
Devin.
What's the Twitter handle? At Hipster Gaming 2. At Hipster Gaming 2 asked, before it was cool, predictions for Captain Marvel post credit scenes?
The beeper. Right, the pager goes off and eyes open.
Oh, she gets
something.
The other side.
Yeah, she gets the other side of the page.
Okay, Philip. Back to back questions. At Only Alfie wants to know, what should I have for lunch tomorrow?
Oh, you know what? Don't give up on salads. Give it a shot. Just even if it takes a lot of like sauce on it, just to make you like it. It's an entry into salads.
You don't make friends with salad.
You don't make friends with salad.
I think you called it sauce.
Yeah, sauce. So your secret sauce on your salad. Yeah.
For me, Davey Brookward Dab wants to know. Davey B. Awkward Dab wants to know, who's your favorite stand-up comedian? John Mulaney. Sam True Scorn wants to know, if CGI gets to a flawless point where it could replace actors because it would be cheaper, more effective, should they?
Why not?
Yep.
We'd replace Sam.
For me, at Becky L. Ferguson wants to know, what team would you be on if the Avengers were going up against an all-star team from the Wizarding World of Harry Potter? Yeah, I mean, if you asked me 10 years ago, I might side with the Wizarding World, but man, what a weird world that's become. Just, whatever. Avengers,
would you rather
sure.
be an Avenger or a child?
Or a child where wizards apparently poop in their robes and use a spell to make it disappear? Oh my God, JK, just...
Too real.
Enough.
Been there in real life.
Sam at Rogwoms wants to know, who gets the privilege of killing Cersei?
Ooh, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Sansa.
Yeah. Okay.
That's fine.
And Philip, true scorn, coming back with another one. If you were to try to introduce aliens or people to a formerly walled off country to the modern world, what movies or TV show would you show them? It's like that Batman question you got.
Oh man. Okay. So one more time.
All right. If you were to introduce aliens or people who were from a walled off country to the world, what movie or TV show would you use to?
The Fifth Element. Just because there's that montage in there where she rewatches all of world history.
Just the, yeah, exactly. The 10-second clip from...
And then they'll think we're so cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, great. Thank you for asking all those questions, guys. Keep them coming. But now we're moving on to another part.
Oh, yes. It's 15 seconds shout out. Now, it's personally, I know I said trivia was my favorite portion of the show, but this is actually... I lied to you, and you can go ahead and yell at me in the comments. But it's time for 15-second shout-outs, where for 15 seconds we plug or ramble about anything that we want. Sam, why don't you start? Thank you very much. I'll go first. I would like to ramble about a new comic. Ooh, I know what it is. It's a new comic from DC Comics called Naomi, and it's about a normal girl who Superman happens to, in the middle of a fight in the sky, crashes down in her city for 10 seconds, flies back out. And it's the biggest thing in her small town, and somehow... possibly she now can figure out maybe she's special too. Maybe is she tied to what happened? Bah, bah, bah. It's really good. If you want a new mystery, check it out.
Great. For my 15 seconds, Friday, March 1st will be our second version of Darkest Timeline Comedy. It's a nerdy showcase they do it the first Friday of every month. Joining me this month will be Philip Molina coming back. We got Matt Robb from Smosh. Now Smosh is back, apparently.
Nice.
So is Matt Robb. And Becca Scott. You've seen her here at New Rockstar. She does Geek and Sundry stuff, plus a lot of really, really funny people. Tommy Bechtold is coming. Philip's also funny. I didn't mean to say the first group of people wasn't funny. Everyone there, it's going to be a lot of fun. If you were there the last month, you knew how much fun and goofy this is. So it's just going to be a night of nerd comedy that you can see at Acme Theater in North Hollywood at 8 p.m. And then follow me on Twitter for more details and tickets and stuff. And Philip?
I want to plug Doom Patrol, but I want to kick it to my salesman, Sam.
Thank you. It's on DC Universe, and it's worth the subscription. It's the wackiest, waviest, wiggliest show you could ever watch. It's if you want your superheroes with a side of sad and a little side of crazy and all in jokes and good times and giggles, go ahead, check it out.
Great.
Thank you, Sam.
Thanks,
everybody. And let's return to the trivia question that we asked earlier. A reminder that our punishment is the gift of shame. The wrongest answer, as decided by our judges, will have to draw the task or gesture from the gift of shame box that Sam broke last week.
Didn't break it. Phil broke it.
The winner will say our goodbyes, and hopefully the loser's motion will be turned into a gif. Follow us on social media.
Your emotions will be turned into a gif.
We're talking about, on Twitter. All right, so what was our question, Sam?
First up, we had a question. It went a little like this. What year were the Oscars first broadcast in color? First up, we got FEMA right here saying 1956. Interesting.
Okay. Sam said 1968.
And Eric said 1965. As we all know, Price is Right rules. Before we go to the answer.
The closest without going over.
Closest without going over. And the answer is 1966.
Woohoo!
Eric is the closest without going over.
Can I shake your hand?
Yes, I'll take
Sam
it.
Sam went over.
I went over. Did you go? You went over.
I went under.
You went under. I went over. So I lose. I'll take this loss with a badge of honor,
there
and I will
you go.
Pick my gift of shame.
For our audio listeners, make sure to follow us at New Rockstars, and you can see this gift that Sam's going to have to do. Sam, what is it that you're going to have to do?
Laugh at a joke, but slowly realize it's making fun of you, and that blows because that happened recently. So,
yay!
All right, so Sam is gonna jump in front of
you.
Yeah.
Did you hear my bones break when I did that?
Okay, everybody. Thank you for watching or listening to this week's episode of the New Rockstars Debrief. I would like to thank our hosts, Sam Basher at Sam Basher, Philip Molina at Fimo, and me, Eric Voss at EA Voss. And a reminder that this is available in audio form or video form. So if you're doing one, you can go re-experience it on the other. Video is at youtube.com/newrockstars, and you can get the audio anywhere that you listen to our podcast. Specifically, if you use the Himalaya app, you can actually leave comments on that podcast, and it supports our show directly if you go through Himalaya. Comment and tweet at us at New Rockstars. Like this video or podcast. Share it around. Subscribe to New Rockstars for deep dives into all the stuff that you love in the world of nerd. See you next week, guys. Bye-bye. Yay!
Sam, that mustache is perfect for you.
Thank you.